know there are greater things in store when we wait upon the Lord and when we serve the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles in the book of into the book of James 3, verse number 1 to 12. James chapter number 3, verse number 1 to 12. I want to bring a message briefly. I don't know whether we are going to be able to finish here today with the Lord laying in my spirit, but if not, we shall continue next Sunday. I want to bring a message that I call the tongue, the power of your tongue. Praise the Lord. The power that come out of your mouth. Praise Jesus. And if you're in James chapter number 3, verse number 1, can you say amen? How many people brought their Bibles? Can you wave your Bibles to me? Wave your Bibles to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, if you didn't bring your Bible, next time, please remember, if you want me to text you, I'll text you so that you can bring your Bible to the house of God. Glory to Jesus. Are you excited to be in the house today? Yeah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take sheep as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go. Verse number 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. Wow. Verse number 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Father, in the name of Jesus, take these words, Lord, that you lay in my spirit, Lord, and communicate to us. Father, we thank you because you are taking us somewhere. And you want to take us, Lord, even to the next level of glory. But there are some precepts that we need to understand, Father, even before we launch into the next level of glory. We thank you, Father, use my mouth as a piece, Father, to communicate your word to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take over and minister to us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody say amen. Amen. Now listen, guys, we talk of wars. We talk of so many great things that happen in the earth today. There's so many things that we've heard or we've experienced in the course of our lifetime. There's so many great wars we've had, you know, like during my lifetime. I think the greatest war that has continued to continually ring in my ears is the war between the Jews and the Palestinians. I think I can remember as long as I can remember when I was a young boy, you know, listening to the Kenya Broadcasting Corporation. They would every single news items, they would mention the war that exists between the Israelis and the Palestinians. We heard about the Gulf War. We heard about the Desert Storm. You remember the 9/11 like it was yesterday. So many great things that happened in the world. The tsunamis, you know, in Asia that swept 100,000 of people. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, even in the midst of great experiences and great catastrophes that has ever happened, there is none that is greater than the tongue. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that, you know, we can tame wild animals. Every kind of wild animal, mankind is able to tame. But it is impossible to tame the tongue. Well, it doesn't say that it is impossible, but it is so difficult to tame the tongue. Praise God. And it is from this concept, you know, knowing what a tongue is and the words of your mouth, the power of words that I felt in my spirit, God spoke to me that I need to bring this topic because, you know, a man is as important as his words. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Great things have been accomplished in the world today just because somebody spoke the word. I cannot just explain this, but just to remember in the book of Genesis that God spoke words out of things that never existed and things became. He displays an example of how we ought to live by speaking things into existence. When the world was without any void or anything existed, and the Bible says that the earth was formless, and God spoke a word, and things that were from an unseen realm became. He spoke. He said, "Let this earth team up with trees." He spoke things out of a realm that we cannot perceive by our natural eyes, and those things became. Praise God. He spoke, you know, let this whole earth team up with animals. He spoke things that were not, things that we could not perceive with our own physical eyes, and they became. Praise God. And now that we have come to know ourselves as men and women who have been created in the image of God, we can borrow from that context and see the importance of words. When you speak words, those words never come back to you. And I just remember of the scripture that says, you know, God never sends out his word and it never fails to accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. God never speaks a word just to throw words carelessly. But when a word comes out of the mouth of God, it has significance. Praise the Lord. It has a pinpointed target where it is aimed at. And God says, when I send out my word, oh, hallelujah. When I send out my word, it never fails to accomplish the purpose for which I send it for. And it comes back to me. The words come back to God and report what they have accomplished. Praise Jesus. And so is the words that we speak out of our mouth. Sometimes, you know, as we have grown, people have spoken words over our lives. Sometimes, even as we went to school, teachers may have spoken words into our lives. And parts of our lives have been shaped because of words that were spoken to you by probably a teacher. Maybe a teacher came and spoke some kind words and they encouraged you and they told you, I see you in the future and I see you being bright and I see you conquering mountains. Words are powerful because when you cling to words, oh, glory to Jesus, words can take you someplace because words are powerful. And I want you to know, children of God, that it is imperative for us to be aware of words that are spoken out of our mouths, because those words, sometimes we speak words and it is so hard. As soon as a word exits your mouth, it cannot be retrieved back. You know, we can play back a tape. You know, if you're listening on a CD, you can press on a rewind button and you can rewind a song and you can listen to it again. But, you know, as once the words have exited your mouth, you know, they have gone. And they forever, you will never retrieve them back. Praise Jesus. It's therefore imperative for each one of us to be sensitive about words that we speak. Words that we speak to our children. Words that we speak to our spouses. Words that we speak to our colleagues. Because words that come out of our mouth have a capability to kill or to build. Words can break or can build. Words can kill, can destroy, or words can give life. Praise be to Jesus. Don't worry about it. We are going somewhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's power in the words we speak. That power may be destructive, That power might be a power to give life. It might be power to energize something. It might be power to create something. Let me tell you, words are also creative, because when God spoke from eternity, He spoke things, as I told you, from a realm that we cannot perceive. And when He spoke the words, they begin to create. Hallelujah. There are words that can come out of your mouth that when you speak them, they begin to create things and destinies in your life. While there are words that when we speak and when we speak them out of our lives, they can become a wreck. They can begin to wreck your life. It is therefore imperative for us to be aware of the words that we speak. I remember when we got married with my wife, you know, there are certain things that I used to do that when I look back, I wonder why I did those things. And among those things that I did are words that I spoke to my wife. I spoke some unkind words to my wife. And today, sometimes when we're having like a date night out, or we are having a time together and we are sitting back and we are kind of reflecting back on where God has brought us, sometimes she reminds me of words that I spoke to her. There was one time that we angered one another, and I told her that you are so stupid. Have you ever uttered a word that somebody reminded you years later of what you did and you wondered, did I really say that? And the particular women have a photographic memory. I don't know how God created women, because, you know, when my wife tells me that, you know what, you remember you called me stupid? I said, no, I am holy. I never called you stupid. Oh, she told me, you know, you just came out of a prayer meeting and we were having this kind of a dinner and you really called me stupid out of an argument. And I'm looking back and I said, wow, I can't even remember. But that happened many, many years ago. Why? Because words are powerful. It is very, very important for us to be aware of words that exit our mouths towards people that relate to us. There are some words that have been used that were used by your mama many, many years ago. And up to this day, you remember those words. It could have been a teacher who spoke some crazy words unto your life. And every time you remember those words, you say, I wish they never spoke those words, because they had a negative impact on your life. But I thank God, because He is so wonderful. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He teaches us concerning things that we need to learn. Amen. Oh, child of God, if you went home with nothing today, I want you to know that the words that exit from your mouth are powerful. And we need to know the exact words that come out of our mouth, because those words, when they come out of you, they have an ability to change somebody's destiny. Yesterday, when we went out here, we went out for the mission. There was this man, you know, the man that he was shivering, and he started narrating me the story of how he has been to South Africa and how things have been so bad with him. And I felt the Spirit of God just putting some words, and these were the words: you are not alone. And immediately I spoke those words to this man, I saw his countenance changed. Like, you know, he has been going through circumstances. He has been going through some situations that have been negating or telling him that, you know what, nobody cares here on earth. But, you know, just those two, I think there were three words, the Spirit of God laid them in my spirit. And I told him, you are not alone. And I could see he was a man, you know, an elderly man. I could see tears just welling up in his eyes, and I started ministering the word of the Lord to him. And it's like I asked him, has anybody ever told you about who Jesus is? Because when I started speaking to him, he this is what he was telling me. Oh, you know, Pastor, I normally go to church. I even don't hang around with people who corrupt my morals. I even have been baptized. And I told him, listen to me, those things never create a relationship with God. And it was like his eyes popped up. And it's like he thought, you know what, a relationship with God would just be created out of doing the right, being good and being baptized and being all those kinds of things. And eventually this man, he said, what must I do? And at that point, I looked at Evangelist Boyd, and this man said, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. And he was shaking. And I said, wow, how would it be that I just, this man, before I spoke these two These simple words, you are not alone. He was kind of so defensive, and he kind of like rejecting me, even though he was shaking and he was going, you could tell that he has been through a rough time. But words are powerful. They can shape your destiny. Words are powerful because they can elevate you to a place where you've never been. Praise be to God. Oh, glory to Jesus. So God spoke into things that were not into, and things became. Praise God. And by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen today was not made out of what is visible today. Now, I want you to know, guys, that the enemy of God will fight as hard as he can. The devil and his agents will fight so that you cannot be aware of the power of the words that you speak. In other words, he will nullify, he will do anything that he can do to come and nullify the importance of words that emanate from your mouth. Hallelujah. And I want you to know also that no man can tame a tongue without divine grace and assistance. We need God to help us tame our tongue. Oh, glory be to Jesus. We need God to help us tame our tongue. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Turn your Bibles into the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, from verse number 32. Matthew, chapter number 12, from verse number 32. We're going somewhere. Matthew 12, 32 to 37. If you're sick, can you say amen? If you're not there, can you say wait for me? Matthew 12, 32, 37. When you get it, can you say a big amen? Amen. I want you to get that. Read from your Bible because you're used to your Bible. It's very, very important. And the Bible says, these are words of Jesus, and he's speaking this, and he says, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And he continues, the Bible says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And in this second sentence, this is where Jesus spoke some very hard words. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account of every careless word that they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Church, let me tell you, when I came to this study and I came to that verse, I had to tarry in the presence of the Lord, and I had to really go through my life and really reconsider that scripture, that every word that we speak here on earth is under the microscope. And I want to put it across to you, church, that words never just emanate from your mouth, but words emanate from your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your mouth, what happens? Your mouth speaks. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. This is exactly what happens. The heart is like a fountain. Have you ever seen a fountain? Or you've ever seen a fountain, you know, the fountain that, you know, shoots up water and the water streams out and creates a small stream that goes, you know, meanders and probably, you know, returns to the fountain. The heart is like that fountain. And the stream that it creates out of the water splashing and coming out of that fountain, the stream are the words that you speak. Praise God. Now, the stream can only contain the water that came out of the fountain. If the fountain splashes water that is salty, what do you expect to be on the stream? You expect to have salty water. How about if the fountain is corrupted and it has some particles and some mud and the water is contaminated? What do you expect to be on the stream? It will be crazy to think that, you know what, that water that came out of the fountain was corrupted, and you're going down the stream to just wanting to have some fresh water, and you're testing it, or you want to drink out of that stream expecting that the water would be pure or the water would be fresh while the source is contaminated. Okay? The heart is also like a treasure box. Listen to me. The heart also is like a what? A treasure box. What is contained in that treasure box could be gold, it could be silver, it could be metals that are precious. Praise God. But when the moment you open that treasure box, the only thing that you can get out of that treasure box is that which is contained in there. So the heart is like a treasure box. But the things that come out of that treasure box could be contaminated, it could be precious metal, or it could be other things. So you never speak words out from nowhere, but it is out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth does what? Speaks. So it is very, very important to know the condition of our heart, because it is out of the content of your heart, then your mouth does what? Let me tell you, your heart is closed up, and only who knows the heart of a man except a man and God? There's no way I can access that. There's no way unless God really reveals to me, Steve, to know what is in your heart right now, you know, by divine knowledge or wisdom. I will never know. I could be looking at you and you're smiling, but you're agonizing inside. I could be looking at you right now. We might be saying, how is your life going on? And you might be telling me everything is going good, but you're really in trouble. You are really in turmoil, and there's a fight. There's a war going on in your soul. But you know what? The only way I can know the condition of your heart is when you speak. I can know. You don't need even to spend so much time with somebody to know the character or what is the contents in a man's heart. The only way you can access the contents or the condition of somebody's heart is when they speak. Praise God. So when they speak, they depict the character. Because out of the abundance of your heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Recently, let me give you a very good example. Recently, I got engaged with somebody who came to me, and he told me, oh, Pastor, the Lord has been leading me so that we can get into a partnership. I want you to help me do A, B, C, D. And let me tell you, be careful when people tell you that the Lord has shown me. Because sometimes I want the Lord also. In fact, I say, when somebody comes and tells me the Lord showed me, the Lord who showed you also can show me. Now, what happened is that we got into this partnership. I went and helped this prominent man, you know, that deserves my respect. And we started this little project that we were doing, and, you know, it started off very well. But let me tell you, when the little project that kicked on, this is just a small thing that we, you know, that we can call each other. Person doesn't even live here. Doesn't even live in Dallas. But let me tell you, every single moment this person calls me, he tells me, why have you not done this? Why have you not done the other? Why did you not call me on this day? Why did you promised to call me at 11:30. You called me at 11:45. I said, God, give me a break. And I looked back and I saw the things that I did for this man. Never paid me a cent, but I went out of my way to do these things. And according to me, these things were supposed to be complimented, even though I never requested for a compliment. But every time this guy calls me and I see his phone, I'm going to say, what is he going to say today again? Actually, before I pick up the phone, I'm like almost trying to pray and really speaking tongues a few minutes so that I can really quell my spirit, because I feel like I want to tell him, don't you see the things that I've done? But you know what? I've come to understand that out of the abundance of his heart, there, let me tell you, things that sometimes that prop up out of your heart, They are under the veneer and they come concealed. And you may not know what the problem is happening. Because when this man speaks to me, he says, why did you not do this? Why did you not do the other? Why did you not do this? And I say that one time I said, what? Look, you know, wait a minute. Are there no good things that I have done since we started this little project with this man that he can call me and tell me, oh, thank you, Tony, for these things that you've, oh, how did you even do this? Because some things I think I did really well. But let me tell you, none of those, I've never had a compliment. None. Nana. Nada. They say nada, my brother. Nada. Never had a compliment. When was the last time you complimented somebody? What is the content of your speech? I'm speaking especially to husbands and wives and children and mothers. When they fail to do that homework, the first time you ask them, have you done your homework? Well, you don't know nothing. In other words, when you put your words in a scale, even before you put the words, it is actually falling on this side. Because there's no even single compliment, zero compliment. Church, let me tell you, it is very, very important to know that words are very, very powerful. Naturally, we are inclined as human beings to look at the negative. That is who human beings are. But you know, now that we have known the Lord, we need to have wisdom. And as we are going to see, I hope we shall be able to see that. It is very, very important to be aware and conscious of who we are. And that the words that we speak are not just words that are supposed to be carelessly spit out of our mouths. Because these words, particularly when you're a child of God, let me tell you, God says in his word that we have been given power and authority to step on snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. In other words, there is authority in your words. Are you listening to me, church? The words that you speak are powerful. And when you speak them in a negative and a careless way, they can destroy somebody's life. Let me tell you, I stand guilty on this pulpit that I speak to you. And I like speaking my sins out to you so that you know that I'm not perfect. I told you that I'm speaking to us. I know you are holy and you don't want to say whatever you did. But let me tell you, Julius, this guy came to me and he said, okay, Tony, I really have so much problem. Can you give me some work? And I said, okay, I'll give you some work. Let me tell you. I thank God for the call of ministry because he gives me grace to deal with different people. When you're a pastor, you meet with people who do not care who you are. Some of them, you know, they want to step down on you. They don't even care. I don't even care. Whoa, what is a pastor? You know, I have daily to depend upon the grace to know what to say to people because I'm a human being and I'm irritated sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I want to get in a fight with somebody. But I wonder, what are they going to say when they know that I'm a man of God? And this guy, I give him an opportunity to come and do some work for me. And this guy, man, let me tell you, have you ever seen people who do not even listen? They hear this, and it comes out of this word, of the other ear. You tell him, this is exactly what I want you to do. And you tell him, he does it, and the next day, even the words have not even settled in his heart. He is repeating the same thing. Finally, I told him, man, you know what? I don't think this thing is working out for us. And every time you're agitating me, every time I feel so bad because I don't want to get into a shouting match of words with you because you would shout back at me. Let me tell you, finally, you know what he said? He told me something that I cannot even say to you. Actually, you cannot even, if I tell you, maybe you'll all get out of this church and say, Pastor, you cannot say those words. I mean, dirty, dirty, the dirty of the dirtiest. He told me, you claim to be a pastor, you do this to me. I said, what did I do? Haven't I really did these things to you? And I gave you a break. You did these things to me, and just because of the grace of the Lord, I gave you did this to me. And you would dare say that to me? Let me tell you, church. I can't remember as an adult when somebody ever told me such words or even had somebody speak those words to anybody. And, you know, we meet with people, you know, especially at work, you find people who use really dark words, F words, and whatever, you know, words they use. And you say, wow, people say really weird things. But this guy now directed those words to me. Let me tell you. I'm a human being, okay? Are you ready for this? I really parked my car beside the road, really. And I put my head on the forehead and I said, what did this man say to me? How can people be so unfair? Let me tell you. Nobody was in my car, but I verbalized some things. I didn't use abusive language, but I told, as long as you live, Lord, this man needs to have this happen to this guy. As long as you live, Lord, Lord, may he know that he is, why can this happen? May this happen to him. May he know. And I spent about 5 minutes just speaking those words. May this happen to him. May he, you know. And I said, let me tell you, in stupidity, I said, may this happen to him. May this happen to him. And as I was driving, I was really agitated. And a few days later, I'm just opening up my Bible. You know, I was wanting to have a study, and the Lord directs me into a certain verse in Psalm. And he says, don't you know that even your servants can all sometimes speak weird things to their masters? And I say, God, are you speaking to me? I just opened up my Bible. I'm serious. I'm opening up my Bible, and I'm looking at this verse in Psalms. Don't you know that even sometimes servants speak some weird things to their master? And I said, okay. Man, I said, this guy was calling me now. He was calling me like every day. Calling me every day. So, and I was, every time I see his phone, I say, I don't even want to see it. Finally, when the Lord really convicted me, I went to God and I said, God, I'm sorry. Even though those words have already gone out, Lord, if there's a way you can cancel those words, let nothing happen to this man, Lord. I realize that I'm also a sinner and, you know, I've done things before and, you know, you give me a break. Lord, I give this guy a break. Lord, please forgive me. I say those words. Please forgive me. And guess what? This guy calls me. And I said, do I pick it? Do I not pick it? And I picked it up. And I said, yes, Gregory. Oh, I didn't even want to say the name. Sorry. No, you don't. And I picked up the phone and I said, yes, yes. What's going on? And he says, oh, Tony, I'm really, really sorry for what I did. I went to work for this guy and they have really given me a hard time. I now realize how you're kind to me. I'm sorry for the words I said the last conversation. And I said, okay, yeah, you need to realize you did something bad to me because nobody ever told me those words again. You know, what you used, those words were so bad. But I told him anyway, but you know what? I've prayed, you know, I'm a pastor. I told you before, I'm a man of God, and I forgive you what you say to me. I mean, let me tell you, at that particular moment, I felt such a relief that you've never felt in your life. And I felt such a coolness just went through my body because I was not even ready to tell this man that I forgive him because of how I was feeling. And I told him, but I don't have any work that I can give you. I'm sorry when something comes up, I may reconsider. I don't know whether I may reconsider to hire him or to get him to give him some work. But anyways, that is exactly what happened. Words can come and they can affect you. But I thank God. Church, listen to me. Thank you, Jesus, because he has given us a choice. If you've ever spoken some words to your spouse, if you've ever spoken your words to your husband or you uttered even in the privacy of your car like I did, if you uttered some words that nobody ever knew what you said, but God knows what you said, He has given us faith and repentance. We can go before the Lord and ask him, God, forgive me. If God never thought those items and those tools were necessary and that he would readily be able to forgive us, he would never have extended faith to you because every single one of us has a measure of faith. Glory be to Jesus. And you have that tool called repentance. You can go out before the Lord and ask him, God, forgive me for the words that I altered to my son. God, forgive me for the words that I spoke to my husband. God, forgive me for the words that I spoke to my wife. God, forgive me for my inconsideration. God, forgive me for this worker that I said some words and I asked to forgive me. And the Lord is surely going to forgive you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it's very, very important to know. The Bible says, let's go into the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse number 23. Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse 23 to 27. Are you there? If somebody is there, can somebody read for me Proverbs 4, 23 to 27? And please read it aloud. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, these were words that were spoken by King Solomon. And if you read from the beginning of chapter number 4, you will realize that he was, I think mostly the Proverbs were, the target group was a general audience, you know, everybody. But most of the counsel in the book of Proverbs was directed to young people, counseling them and preparing them for adulthood. And this is exactly what he says in the beginning of the chapter. He says, listen and hearken to my word. Do not forget the words that I speak into you, because these words are going to preserve you. These words are going to keep you and sustain you even as you grow up into adulthood. Now, we have seen what the word of God told us here. This is what it says, that the good person out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. Amen? And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I tell you, on the day of judgment, these people will give an account. So what happens is, if out of the content of our hearts is what emanates out of it, I mean, the words that we speak will only produce the content of our hearts. Don't you think, therefore, that it is necessary for us to guard our hearts, even as King Solomon tells us? Because let me tell you, the enemy is not so much interested in the words that you speak, much more than he is interested at the content of your heart. And if he has access to your heart, he will deposit certain things, because he knows that once he deposits those things in your heart, sooner or later, those words, the content will have to be exited from by your mouth. So he is more concerned, and he is working every single time to make sure that the content of your heart is kind of destabilized, and that you are evilly inclined, so that whenever you speak, it is out of the abundance of your heart. Praise be to God that will be spoken out. And I thank God for King Solomon. He tells us, you need to know now that you need to guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it flows the what? Issues of life. I told you, your heart is like a fountain. Out of that fountain will only flow that which is in your heart. Now, let me ask you, church, how many things do you protect? We are able to protect our children, right? Don't you protect our children? Let me give you a very good example. On Friday, we had a late night with my daughter. By the way, somebody just told me that I need to be sketching out some time. This is for your benefits also. Sketch a time in your calendar. I never thought about this. You know, for your spouse, for your child. You know, go out on a dinner for her, with a date out with her. And this particular date, I went out with my daughter. And we got into a mall in this restaurant, and we are just there waiting to be served. And she told me, it was kind of like about 8:30. She tells me, oh, Dad, I need to go to the restroom. Okay, I said, okay. And I'm sitting there, and what came into my mind? Suppose somebody came and hijacks my daughter, and I don't even know where these thoughts come from. See how the devil ministers to us? He targets your heart. Suppose somebody comes and snatches your daughter and runs with her, and you're here waiting for this food, and your daughter is gone. And I say to my heart, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we are protective of our children. Let me tell you, if you want to know what a man is worth, if you want to know what a mother is made of, just try to joke with their children. Let me tell you, if you never knew that they were a warrior, try to play as Mutali's daughter. You will know. See, he loves us with us and makes jokes. But let me tell you, if you try to poke a finger at her daughter, that's when you will know who the real Mutali is. If you try to play around with Tony's daughter, you know Tony's so cool and collected, but you try to go and play with purity. That is when you are going to know who this man is made of. Because we protect, we are protective of our children. We are protective of the assets. You know, you want your financial status to be well, so that you know you. Yesterday, as we were driving to the crusade, somebody one of the people that we were driving today, we saw a billboard of Dave Ramsey. I think Dave Ramsey helps people with the financial. And he told, "Oh, Pastor Tony, you see this man here? He really helps people with the finances. Even he tells you how you can come out of debt." And she was really so. She was really telling me, "You need to go Google Dave Ramsey so that he can help us. So we need to have classes of Dave." I said, "Wow, this person is really concerned about their finances." You know, we don't want to be in a financial ruin. So you want to do whatever it takes so that you are stable in your finances. You want to protect, you know, the loopholes where your finances are going out. We are so diligent in protecting our assets. I remember I had this car back in Kenya. And let me tell you, you know, in Kenya, you know, you can park a car even next to your house, but the next morning you come, there's no tire, or there's no... See, now I'm thinking in my vernacular. The tire is gone, the battery is gone, the spare tire is gone, or sometimes even the steering wheel is gone. The whole thing is just gone. So what I used to do, I used to bring the car as close as my door. And my wife used to say, "You want to get this car into the house?" It was like a small 1200 Datsun. You know, some of you remember those small pickups. And I brought it just next to my window where I slept. So that was, because at night sometimes I would hear somebody coming. And I said, "Oh, now they have come to take my tire." And I would wake up and I would go and I would check it out. Why? Because you want to protect your assets. In Kenya, you have to do that purposely. You have to protect your assets. Now, if we are able, so we are so protective of the things that we do. You know, when you're going actually on the billboard, they put a stick a big billboard. Click it or. Because even the law enforcement wants to make sure that you are safe. They want to protect you. How many of you have ever been given a ticket because of lack of putting a seatbelt? Come on, be honest now. Or every one of you does that. Please click it or ticket. Or your children. You know, you want to put them in a safety seat. You know? Some of us just get your children. You throw them there, you know, like you think you're in. You wait one day. And I'm not prophesying this to you. Okay? We are so protective. We protect our bodies. You know, you are watching what you eat. You know? Let me tell you. I thank God because now people are aware of what they eat. When you first come to America, there are burgers everywhere. There is everything. You go testing everything. And before you know it, you can't even walk. You're walking like... Huh? But now, after some time, now you're watching what we eat. You know, you are careful. You're eating vegetables. Why? Because you know you've had somebody die because of heart attack. And you don't want to die because of heart attack. So that right now you're eating vegetables. You're protecting your body. If you're not eating vegetables, begin to start eating vegetables. When was the last time you exercised? Or you're exercising when you're washing the utensils? I'm exercising, you know, washing them so hard. We protect the things that concern us. But listen now what the Bible says in that verse that we just read. God, keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it flows the issues of life. So in other words, if we don't guard our heart, irrespective of how much we guard these other things, the car, the finances, the spouse, the wife, the husband, the children, and we fail to guard this above, the Bible says, above everything else. If we fail to guard that heart, because out of it springs the issues of life, then we'll be finding ourselves, "Oh, I'm involved in a wreck here. You know, this part of my life is wrecking and these things are not going the way they're supposed to do." Just because we do not care so much for our heart than we do these other things. May the Lord help us so that we can every single moment take an inventory of the contents of our hearts. Because out of it will come issues of life. Amen? And the Bible, if you read the beginning of the verses in Proverbs chapter number 4, he says, let wisdom, let knowledge be part of you. Let it what replaces the foolishness and the stupidity that the devil creates and puts in our hearts. Let that be a permanent replacement, because whenever you want to speak, whenever somebody, like for example, when this man said these words to me, if I had a lot of wisdom and knowledge, guess what? I would not even have spoken those words to him. So I'm guilty. And I'm telling God, help me so that I can have the word of God hid in me so that I may not sin against the Lord. Are you listening to me, church? Let the word of God, let there be, what, let me ask you this. What are the pillars that guard your heart? What are the pillars that guard your heart? How many exits and how many doors do we have in our hearts? What is the information that gets into your heart? Now, next time we shall check it out, how information can get into your heart and how we need to really, how can we guard what comes into our heart? What are the things that we can involve ourselves in and compromise what comes into our heart? So it is very, very important above everything. As you protect your assets, as you protect your business, as you protect your children, above everything else, the Bible says, guard and watch your heart. Praise be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So because of our time, we shall proceed from there. And I'm going to show you what it means, what the intentional steps we can take as believers that we can take to protect and to guard our hearts. That, you know what, my agenda in the morning will be to tell the Lord, God, help me. I seal this gate. I seal this gate. I seal this gate. I covenant with you, Lord, that my eyes will not compromise and will not allow things to stream into my heart. I covenant with you that my eyes will be blinded to certain things. Amen. Because let me tell you, it will come in effortless when we are not aware. Number one, we need to have discerning spirit. The things that we involved ourselves in, the people that we interact with, can determine the contents of your heart. Because the Bible says, and I think we also have a saying in our language, if you walk with people who have corrupt morals, sooner or later, guess what? They will also corrupt your morals. Right? They say, "Musharana mukodo ekagatia." Thank you. That is exactly what they say. And I believe there's also a scripture that says that if you walk with people who are corrupt, sooner or later, guess what? You will also be corrupt. So we have to take the necessary steps. What are the necessary steps that we need to take so that we can guard our hearts, stand on our feet? Amen. Praise the Lord. As we continue with this lesson, I believe the Spirit of God laid in my heart, we shall also see the power of declaration, things that we need to declare in our lives, taking scripture, portions, passages of scripture, and turning them to your own advantage and declaring them, because words are powerful. And just as God's words, when the words come out of the mouth of God, goes out to accomplish the purpose for which they are sent, you can also send words to go and accomplish purposes for you. Praise be to God. Father, we are grateful for such a wonderful day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, because you have not allowed any one of us to stumble. We've come into your house, Father. We opened up our mouths and we showered you with praises. Thank you, because that came from the abundance of our hearts. The gratitude, Lord, to know that you saved us and you have redeemed us, Lord, and that you have separated us, Lord, even from the kingdom of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, because you have delivered us and given us a hope of eternal life. I thank you, Lord, even for the gift of life, the gift of salvation. And I thank you for the awareness that you have given us that we are children of God. I thank you, Father, because our words are not going to be wasted. Father God, we shall be men and women who are discernful of things that we say to people, particularly to those who are close to us, our children, and that, Father God, we shall have, it's only you, God, who can give us a balance of our words. It's only you, Father, that can give us wisdom of what to speak and what to say at particular moments and when and to who. Father, we pray that you may help us, that we may know, Father, that the words that we speak are powerful and they are strong into demolishing strongholds in the name of Jesus. Father, I commit this body, Lord, even before you, God, that, Father, the zeal of the house, Father, will grow up every one of us in the name of Jesus, that we shall not take the work of God for granted. For indeed, soon you shall come, Lord, and at the day of judgment, you shall require of the work of what we did for you here on earth. That we shall treat every day as a day of the Lord, and we shall treat it with urgency, Father, to do that which you have commissioned us to do. I thank you, Father God, for as many as you shall release, even to give items, Lord, to us, the mission that we have in downtown to the homeless, that you shall bless them indeed. Lord, I pray for those who are fighting to get time, Lord, to do the work of the Lord. Reorganize their schedule in the name of Jesus. There are people who for a long time have desired, Lord, even to come to the house of God, but they have been held up by their schedules. Lord, I speak in the atmosphere concerning their jobs that you shall reorganize their schedule. Give them favor so that they can find time to serve you in the name of Jesus. For we must do the works of the Lord while it is still day. For night comes when we can do it no more. Father, let us at every single minute know and be aware that serving you is a privilege. Father, we don't deserve, Father, to be where we were. For we were sinners and just we were willing to be condemned. But I thank you for Jesus who came and redeemed us, Lord. I thank you, Father, even for the mission in Kenya that is just concluded. Thank you, Father, even for those 16 women who are diagnosed with cancer. Father, the Bible tells us that you carried all our infirmities, my God. You sent your word and healed their diseases. Lord, I pray for those 16 women that we do not even know, never met them. Father God, we send your word, a healing word, Father, into their bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, let your word begin to operate that cancer. Whatever stage one cancer is, Lord, begin to operate that cancer in the name of Jesus. Oh God, from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, touch them like no one can, in the name of Jesus. And those for those who have been found to have traces that could not be explained at the time of the examination, Lord, I pray that you shall also begin to deal with them, Lord. You begin to heal and remove any traces of cancer in the name of Jesus. Give them the finances that they need, even to make that appointment to a doctor or to the hospitals in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our midst. And I pray, Lord, even as you go visiting, as you go visiting your beloved children, do not forget us, Lord. Come to our aid, Father. We thank you and we bless you. Father, we also pray for those who have needs in our midst. I pray, Father God, you know everybody better than they can know themselves or better than we know them. For the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews 4:13 that everything lays bare before you. Father God, you see that cry, you see that need, Father, that they so desire for it to be met with. Lord, stretch forth your hand, Father, and meet with their needs in the name of Jesus. Those that are sick in our midst, oh God, I pray that you shall stretch forth your hand and heal them as well in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, for in your presence there's liberty and there's freedom. If there be anybody in this auditorium who have never given their life to Jesus, and you want to say, this day I want to submit myself to the Lord, and I want to give my heart to Jesus, just lift up your hand. We're going to pray with you. Receiving Jesus is so easy. All you got to do is believe in your heart that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again on the third day and is seated on the right-hand side of the Father and that he is making intercession for us. And secondly, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and that's it. You're born again. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. Is there anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I declare your blessings over your people. This week shall be a great week, O God. Whatever our hands shall find to do, it shall be successful in the name of Jesus. I speak favor over favor in the name of the Lord. I speak divine connections in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you help us to guard our hearts this week. and to watch over the words of our mouths to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you and we bless you for all these things we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Can you appreciate God?